Good afternoon. Today is Tuesday, November the 27th, 332nd day of the new year. Joining us this afternoon, go ahead, you can grab it by the throat, bring it over to you. You don't have to be patty cake with a microphone. Joining us this afternoon is Fortuna City Manager Regan Candelaria. Good afternoon, guy.
Good afternoon. Thank you for having me.
No, you say that as if you're stunned that you were able to come back.
Well, I'm going to enjoy my second trip. I think I learned a little bit the last time. So
got a little attitude coming back now, so we're on the same playing field. This afternoon, we'll spend a little bit of time. Speaking of attitude, Regan has the outstanding opportunity to drive down to Sacramento in a rainstorm later this week. So we'll talk about what's taking him out of town. And also, there's a couple different activities going on in sunny Fortuna. See, I'm throwing in all these proper adjectives, just in case you're sliding past.
It was definitely sunny before I left to come over here for the interview.
So oh, yes. 75, 80?
Maybe not that.
Oh, okay. A little truth is creeping in. We'll see what else, what other truisms we can pull out when we come back.
Oh, this is great. Buffalo burgers and grilled ribs, live country music. Hey, we're here in Fernbridge at the Angelina Inn for the Country Jam and Cowboy Buffet. We got Mike Riley and the Yager Creek Boys live on stage with a lot of the best musicians sitting in. We got chili, cornbread, potato salad, hot wings, buffalo burgers, grilled ribs. We got $2 domestic beers and a buck off the rest of the brews. You ought to be here right now and every Sunday, noon to 4, the Angelina Inn's live country jam and cowboy buffet. AngelinaInn.com.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:13. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Regan Candelaria. But before we do, our quote this afternoon comes from Sir James Matthew Barrie. Those who bring sunshine to the lives of others cannot keep it from themselves.
Excellent.
So, there you go. A little weather-related quote for you, huh?
Especially with the storm coming.
Yeah. What kind of preparation are you guys doing? I think the weather forecast is indicating 8 to 12 inches of rain. Yeah. That's enough. A gully washer might be a phrase used in some jurisdictions. But when you know something like that's coming up, how does Fortuna anticipate or prepare for something like that?
Well, that's a great question, and very timely. Obviously, there is a storm coming in this week, actually, that I wasn't aware of. I've been focused on other things. But my staff and our public works department have spent the last month or so actually preparing in advance of, these winter months that, of course, I'm not very familiar with yet here in this part of the state. But, they're out there cleaning ditches and doing some, special work for all of the different drainage areas in town and some of the normal routes. They have been preparing for some of the areas that they know have been problems in the past to try and get a little bit of ahead of the game there to try and eliminate some of those problems. And it's an annual thing. The public works crew does an excellent job of getting out there and trying to be prepared, because we know that when these things come up, there's going to be, special attention needed in specific places. Another thing that we try to do as a city, as a, municipal organization, is trying to do some outreach and preparedness education for our community. And that's typically done through our public safety divisions to try and get out there and let people know that, hey, there may be a rainstorm coming, but we never know when something bigger or more significant is coming. And you need to be prepared on your own in your own homes so that, you can take care of yourself for a number of days, because when there's major occurrences like those that we've seen on the East Coast and in the South, that, limited public safety staff can't get everywhere.
It's not supposed to be that big a storm.
Well, no, not this week. But still, in terms of preparedness, we want to be, we want our community residents to be prepared for the larger events so that they can be as self-sufficient as possible, so that our public safety crews can get out and accomplish what they need to.
I think the triple junction is probably taking care of that reminder with the earthquakes.
Oh.
We're kind of accustomed to a lot of that kind of stuff. But there's still a bunch of new people who come into town. And the one that always is curious for me, as they're doing all the tsunami zone and that kind of stuff, is the traveling tourist. That might be redundant. The travelers into the community, because they may not know where to go. They may not be familiar with what it sounds like, what they're supposed to do, et cetera, et cetera. Or they may not be familiar. If I'm in the Midwest and there's a tornado, the tornado siren goes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, what
I don't
is
go outside
that?
And look for the parade. What do I know a tornado? So I would think that's probably as challenging as in the hotels and the restaurants and those types of places. educating the traveler.
Yeah, travelers do need information, specifically in Fortuna. Again, I'm fairly new to this community. We have an alarm that sounds for our volunteer fire services to rally and get to where they need to be. And that's something that somebody from out of the area wouldn't recognize. And I know for myself, when I came into town and, you know, thinking about tsunamis and other things in this area, what is that siren? You know, everybody else kind of acts like it's nothing because they're used to it. But you're right, travelers, visitors to the area, some local knowledge would be important for them.
They don't have you on the volunteer fire department yet?
No, not yet.
What's wrong with you?
They invited me to their most recent event of Volunteer Appreciation Night, which I understand went well.
Uh-oh. So
their annual.
That sounds secondhand knowledge, though.
Yeah, I wasn't able to make it, but that was their.
That's right. You're the guy that's ducking rotary still.
thanks for reminding
people. Yeah,
may
as well
people.
Let everybody know what's that. how long, emergency services, obviously the crew is there, the staff is there. At what point do you play subservient to their knowledge? And at what point do you take control and say, okay, here's how I want it done?
Well, that's probably a really involved question that, and it's a discussion that all city managers really need to have with their public safety crew, because there's an area of expertise that I just simply don't have and probably will never have, and hopefully my police chief, or whether I'm working with a volunteer fire chief, they have that knowledge and that training. As a city manager, I'm ultimately responsible for the major decisions that are made. But if there's something that has to do with, response to an emergency situation, I'm going to get advice on that, and I'm going to work with them. And then more communication of that decision and why it makes the most sense to our elected official in our community is probably more my role.
Have you had a chance yet to get together with the OES folks and the other city managers to kind of get that? Oh, no, he's reaching for his appointment book,
and
it looks like
at it right
2013?
Now.
No, okay, that's a 12.
No, it's very recent. We're actually working on a countywide opportunity to create our new hazard mitigation plan, or an update to our five-year hazard mitigation plan, and Fortuna will be an active member and participant in that committee. And that's like a really wonderful tool to help our community be more prepared, as we talked about earlier, for larger events. And then as a byproduct, also to be able to access grant funding and response funding from the different federal organizations. So that's actually something we really need to be a part of.
KINS, News and Information Times, 3:19.
At my bank, I feel at home. I'm Trish Greggy of the Journey's End, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
At my bank, hometown banking isn't just something they say, it's how they do business. I'm Kevin McClendon of Georgia's Glass, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
At my bank, we invest in the future of our community every single day. I'm Greg Foster, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
Redwood Capital Bank, our interest is you. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 3:24. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Fortuna City Manager Regan Candelaria. Regan, the anticipating of storms, I would suggest most communities, non-rural, so, those with pavement, there's really not a whole lot you can do to stop the gutters from backing up, the systems from being overwhelmed, that kind of stuff, because when it hits, it hits. You'd open up all the hydrants all over town, and you couldn't replicate what's going to come in just because it's all over the place. Mm-hmm. So when you anticipate, how much can you really do to lessen the load, to make it flow smoother? And you get a couple twigs out of the way, okay, fine. But you're still going to have it going out to the center of the street. And you're still going to have these big mud puddles with the little kids coming home from school going to jump in, and somebody's going to get mad because it's over their galoshes and all that kind of stuff. Does it kind of come with the territory?
Yeah, it pretty much does. But again, I'll go back to what I was saying earlier about history. We have staff that have been on staff for a number of years, and they know where things are bad. And they do their best to try and prepare those. You know, getting twigs out of the way handles, you know, a little bit, but really it then goes to the next level of trying to prepare our capital improvement projects, and which is something that we actively do every year. I sit down with our city engineering staff, we sit down with our public works staff, and we take a look at what, you know, where are those problems and what can we do to improve them. And we've got a couple that I know are on the books for this current year that we're going to get started. And hopefully those two locations will see less of that problem in future years when we get these big storm events. And those won't be the ones that we're worried about. We'll be looking for others and trying to be proactive in other locations around town.
So what's the payoff? I mean, if we're in a normal business setting, I've got an ROI. You know, you spend $1, you get $1.50 back.
You hope.
Okay. Yeah, you hope. And if that happens, maybe you get a 10% return on your total. Okay, fine. How do you ROI, or can you ROI, infrastructure?
Well, again, that's a whole subject in itself, but what we try to do in government is think on the long term. We're not necessarily as concerned about the ROI for ourselves or for the organization, but more for the city to make sure that the community is going to have a long-term benefit from the projects that you implement. You're hoping that some of those major infrastructure projects that you put on your CIP that you're going to accomplish will then encourage more private sector development. And that's where the potential for ROI comes in, that, you know, maybe, you know, Bob down the street is now going to say, okay, you know what, this property is more viable or valuable now because I know I'm not going to get, you know, this flooding this year, or I know I'm going to get more, you know, traffic and potential sales. And so you try to build things along that perspective so that, you know, the community, the private sector can then do what they need to do to really achieve their ROIs. And that's when, you know, future years, later years, when government then sees the benefits of that. We may get increased property value now, a little more property taxes. We may get some better employment, which would be excellent. You know, and then, of course, if you get sales tax out of any of those private sector projects, you know, shopping centers, you know, mom-and-pop stores, whatever it might be, you know, that's where we get our dollars to try and do the things that we want to do in the future.
So is it fair to even use the phrase ROI? Or do you have a different standard that is applied for infrastructure? Because, I mean, if you're looking for 50 years, mm-hmm. and it pencils out at year 47, dandy.
Well, fortunately, we, as in my position and as staff, we try to make those recommendations, but we're not ultimately responsible. It's the council that decides what really pencils out. So, you know, you bring projects to them, and you hope you can show them the why it makes sense, but sometimes you go in different directions.
You've heard of the Olay defense in basketball?
Olay.
I think we just saw a little Olay politics there. What do you think, gang?
Well, you want me to just take a charge? I mean,
it's tough, particularly during rough economic times, to try to quantify this stuff and say, okay, if you've got your pound of money, what's the best application of it in the business arena? ROI. Mm-hmm. In the government sector, if ROI doesn't really apply, and it certainly doesn't, I don't sense that it does. Well, there's got to be some standard that's measured against.
Well,
we would like to think
the ROI does have a role, but we just went over it, it's different. We need to look at what our funding sources are currently that we can actually, you know, make things happen with, because we can't continue to rely upon those. And as things have changed over the years, that's definitely a factor. But it's not that, you know, we're going to expect sales of widgets for the next year. We're looking at other things, and we're also looking at other grant funding sources, and those typically change, and they've totally been reduced at the state and the federal level over the recent years. So you don't necessarily have the ability to say, you know what, we're going to increase production, you know, and then we're going to see those benefits in future years. So we have to be a little more cautious, a little more conservative in terms of what we put out, because that return on investment, you know, may or may not be there, and then actually the funding source to do the projects that you want to do, you know, are hard to come by.
And those may or may not be there when it comes time to pull the trigger also.
Which is why I'm going to Sacramento.
Don't tease the rest of the show, man. Has there been any movement on the PL mill site in town? Is there anything cooking there at all, or we just see fences and a for sale sign up?
Well, in terms of cooking, though, that, you know, as a city, we're trying to take a look at that as we're working through our zoning improvements that we're doing right now. We're going to have another council workshop study session in January on that topic. to try and help, you know, determine what the potential is for that site. But really, that's, you know, a privately owned site, and we can't, you know, necessarily have a say in if anything's cooking right
but
now.
But you know if something was happening.
I would try to find
out. Yeah, yeah. You have ways. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 3:30. We'll be back with more from Regan Candelaria.
Now a minute of sunshine for Humboldt. The North Coast Repertory Theater's 29th season has 6 treats for its audiences. By next summer, it will have presented 2 musicals, 2 comedies, 1 contemporary drama, and a Shakespeare classic at its theater in downtown Eureka. Now playing is Anything Goes, a revival of a musical about antics on an ocean liner featuring Cole Porter's timeless music. Coming in January is American Buffalo, a revival of a Broadway drama about 3 small-time crooks who plan to steal a coin collection. Shakespeare's The Tempest comes in March, followed by Next to Normal, a musical with a contemporary score. The season wraps up with a comedy titled The Allergist's Wife. For details about the North Coast Rep season, visit their website, www.ncrt.net. That's www.ncrt.net. Sunshine for Humboldt is a nonprofit civic association dedicated to the people and activities that make this a good place to live.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:36. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Regan Candelaria, the city manager in the city of Fortuna. Regan, kind of teased a little bit in the opening of the show that you were going to be heading south right into the rainstorm later on this week. Most people in their right mind with a storm coming in are trying to figure out ways to keep the deck furniture from flying all over the place. And you decided you're going to brave it and jump in the convertible and drive right into it? Is that the story?
Well, it's not actually we intended to have a meeting, but we didn't intend to have it on Thursday. We requested a meet and confer with the State Department of Finance regarding basically the final outcome that they want from our redevelopments housing programs. And we have a little bit of a differing number there and some timing on a couple of other items. And so we requested a meet and confer so that we can go over that with them and try and get things straightened out. And they chose this particular Thursday at 2 p.m. And, you know, didn't matter whatever else I already had on my calendar. Those things need to change, and I will have to brave the storm to get down there.
What a guy.
Yeah.
Best case scenario.
Well, we have some pretty good documents that show what our projects were, and we think they may have just gotten some math wrong and some dates. And so we want to make sure that we clearly show them what we believe to be the truth, which, you know, hopefully is about $531,000 difference. Try and get that settled with them, and then also discuss another issue in terms of dates of a project. There was this whole issue with not starting new projects after they dissolved the redevelopment agency, and they had some retroactive dates that they put in place, you know, basically June of 2011, and we had a project that started in 2008, and we had disposition and development agreements that were being, you know, negotiated and about to be signed and then extended out a little bit and pushed out past that date over almost a 3-year period, which was very unfortunate. So anyway, a lot of the transaction and things associated with that project occurred prior to the dissolution of the redevelopment agency. And so, you know, we don't expect too much success, but we have to at least try and get that project included in our reports to the Department of Finance.
Yeah, that concept of retroactive is really something that they seem to embrace pretty handily there.
That came out almost like, yeah, we're not only going to put this on you, but we're going to say it already started, you know, even before we agreed that it was going to be the case. So that was tough.
Is that a common occurrence?
not in my experience.
Okay, I mean, you would think not. You'd hope not, but yeah. I have a buddy who's got Fleet as part of his business, and they whipped the Fleet DMV premium charges retroactive to last June, not June 13 or 12, June 11. So he's almost coming up on needing a new set, and they got hit with this one.
Yeah, and government, and they know that this is very difficult because you're trying to project and prepare for the next year with your budget, and you base it on prior year's, you know, activity a lot of times, and then, you know, when you then have to go back and say, okay, wait, it wasn't even that, it's going to be more, makes things very difficult on us at the local level.
Do you think they've gotten out of the disillusion of redevelopment what they thought? Or do you sense that they may have either been surprised at the blowback that they did get from the cities or the financial impact that not having redevelopment has meant to these local jurisdictions throughout the state?
I think it's pretty clear that they're not able to achieve the type of dollars to their funds that they were hoping to get out of redevelopment. I think that's just very clear. I don't think they would be surprised one lick about all of the blowback that they've gotten. That was to me going to be expected, and I think local jurisdictions and redevelopment agencies like ours have got a lot of reasons why we're blowing back, and they're all understandable. So I don't think it worked out very well.
Any sympathies?
Yes, for the rest of the redevelopment agencies in the state, all of the firms that work and go along with redevelopment, it's been a tough road, for a year and a half here.
Is there a light at the end of this tunnel, Regan, or is this kind of wrapping things up? It's now gone and it'll be part of history.
Well, that's I guess if that's considered the light, then yes, because you want to put it behind you and move on. The only problem is that with that moving on and the light at the end of the tunnel, I don't know if there's a new program or a new thing that's going to come along to do the things that we were doing with redevelopment. But at least hopefully wrapping this up and actually being done with the dissolution of the redevelopment agency is going to be something that I know everybody's going to be happy when they reach that point.
KINS, News and Information Times, 341. We'll be back with more from Regan Candelaria.
Hi, this is Eric from Northwood Chevrolet Hyundai. I think a lot of people forget that we have a great selection of used cars available. We might not have the inventory that some of the larger dealerships do, but I know our quality used cars stack up against anybody else's in the county. Plus the fact, if we don't have something on our lot, come on in, see us, and we can probably find it for you. We have a quality selection of some very nice used cars, what most people were looking for. But again, if we don't have it on our lot, we can probably find it for you at Northwood Chevrolet Hyundai.
Hi, my name is Mark Diaz from Northwood Hyundai, and I invite you to come down. We're open from 8:30 in the morning till 6 o'clock at night for your shopping convenience. Closed Sundays to be with family. And as my dad used to say, don't bring much money. You won't need it. That's Northwood Hyundai, 7th and D, Eureka.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 345. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Regan Candelaria. Regan, when we talk about this time of the year, obviously there's a lot of holiday activities going on. Most of us decide to stay in the area instead of leave during this time of the year. But, some people still do leave. Just trying to whip a little guilt on you. are there events in Fortuna that are going on during December that kind of have you a little excited about moving to town?
There's quite a few things, actually. Our town, as you know, Fortuna stays pretty active on an annual basis with a lot of different bigger events. And during this month of December coming up here, one of the first ones is on Friday the 7th.
That's the knockoff of the KEKA Truckers Parade.
There is a Redwood Parade. It happens to be on the same night as our new Fortuna First Friday event with all of the shops open downtown on Main Street. And, they incorporate the arts. They have some local artists, whether they be visual and some performing as well, with some live bands playing at a few of the different venues. So it's kind of a fun night. And that also happens to be the Redwood Parade, the lighted parade that'll go around town. And
are we going to get you guys up here for the real deal Saturday?
What do you mean by you guys? I can't bring 12,000 people up here.
We only have about 24,000 that'll watch it. But yeah, the Truckers Parade we do in Eureka.
I would like to experience
that.
So.
Yeah. Well, you can come up and you could be a judge. Hmm. Before you leave, we'll talk about.
All right,
you can be a judge. May as well give you the funny hat, the fancy clothes.
Sounds good. I don't mind. I like being the judge.
But the holidays are more than just one day also.
Yeah, there's some other events. There's a really nice garden club home tour that people should experience. That's going to be on the 12th on a Wednesday. The Garden Club, I have to say something positive about them while I just brought up the Garden Club, because they work with the city in terms of beautifying a lot of our medians downtown and the little, you know, bulb out areas on the corners and, you know, all around City Hall. They do an excellent job.
Isn't it surprising how simple something like that can really change the character of a downtown area?
That's one of the things, like, you know, not to say that I'm new here still, but that's, I saw that right away when I was here, and it really caught my eye. And I've been around a lot of downtowns, and they've got different things that are attractions, but it really looks nice to have those bright flowers and that little well-maintained area while you're walking around downtown.
Yeah, somebody caring really stands out.
Yeah, and they have got some partnerships with some other local organizations that have some people, some crews that come out and do the watering and a little bit of maintenance to help them out. So, you know, it's really a nice effort, you know, with a couple of different organizations involved.
Is anything going on at River Lodge? I know that a lot of times those are Christmas parties and they don't let me in.
Well, they will let you into the music festival.
All right.
There's going to be a holiday music festival on the 9th. It's a Sunday at the River Lodge, which is an excellent facility right on the Eel River there. It's going to be a great event. I'll be there between 4:15 and 6:15 as a greeter at the door.
Oh, just in case anybody wants an autograph.
Well,
okay, yeah.
I don't think anybody will want that, but just to help open the door in case, you know, make sure people can get in and out easily.
Fair enough. Even some of us from Eureka, huh?
I will welcome everybody from the entire county.
There you go. Oh, geez. So when you think of the holidays in a small town, do you have an idea yet what it is?
I guess I'll say no, but I'm experienced it this year. There's a couple of neat things going on. Of course, there's some Toys for Tots programs and that type of thing. You know, we've got a, you know, again, more towards the, you know, from our Fortuna Business Improvement District perspective, they've got a shop local program that's going on. And one of the things that they're doing is having people collect their receipts for between now and towards Christmas, and put them into a drawing to receive some Fortuna bucks that can be spent within the community as well. It's kind of more of a shop local program, but you know, there's a lot of things going on in town that I'm just not even aware of yet in terms of outreach and you know, help for people. So
don't worry, give it 10-15 years, you'll figure it out.
I hope it doesn't take me that long.
No, well, you know, it's kind of fun for me to play with you a little bit, because, you know, most of us, we don't see the big town stuff. You know, this is what for us is the Christmas season. So to see the wow in your eyes, you know, oh, this is so cool. Yeah, that's what makes the area what the area is versus some of the larger. Like, I can't imagine what New York would be like other than, you know, the frozen lake in the middle and watching people slide around. And yeah, I mean, that's so foreign to what we see or most of us perceive as normal. So it's kind of cool to see you getting normal. Well, ish. How's that for a backhanded compliment, huh?
Yeah, normal-ish.
Okay. All right. Well, have a safe drive this week.
All right.
Bring
you very
back
much.
Some good news.
All right.
We've been talking shop this afternoon with Regan Candelaria. Join us tomorrow afternoon for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out and make it a good day. Hug someone you love. See you tomorrow.